This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. There is a world shortage of teachers. Education International, the global union for teachers and other educational staff, estimates that 69 million new teachers are needed. Part of the problem is recruiting and keeping teachers on the job. And it's not just a lack of funding. It's a lack of political will. In the United States, the richest country in the world, there is a severe shortage of teachers. I talked to Stacey Pelica about the issue. Ms. Pelica is the director of research for the National Education Association in the United States. The NEA represents more than 3 million members across the country. I asked Ms. Pelica about the teacher shortage in the U.S.
It's not only a teacher shortage, but it is a broad school staff shortage. So we're seeing shortages of what we call education support professionals. So folks who drive buses, work in food service, paraeducators, school counselors are also experiencing shortages, social workers, administrators. It's across the board. In terms of why, I think one important thing is that this predates the pandemic. So when we look at the data, we start to see that job openings are outpacing hires as early as 2017, so well before the pandemic, and that's across the entire education sector in the U.S. We're also seeing that the percent of educators who quit each month has been increasing steadily since 2009. So clearly this is something that didn't come about because of the pandemic, but the pandemic certainly exacerbated it. In terms of the pandemic itself, we have about 250,000 fewer people working in the local public education sector. So that would be our K-12 schools primarily than we did prior to the pandemic. So we certainly did see a pandemic effect. But going back to the broader issue of why, I think number one is just pay. It's a pretty straightforward answer. And survey after survey, we see that people are considering leaving the profession because of pay, that pay is the thing that would keep them in the profession if it increased, that people are wary to enter teacher preparation because of pay, and that parents are concerned about their children selecting teaching as a career because of the pay. So at this point, according to the Economic Policy Institute, the wage gap between teachers in the U.S. and comparably educated professionals is 23.5%. So we have this growing and very large gap in terms of pay. A couple of the other issues, working conditions, clearly one of those big issues, certainly became more of a challenge during the pandemic in terms of maintaining the health and safety of our educators and our students. We have extremely high rates of job-related stress among teachers in the U.S., so twice as many teachers reported frequent job-related stress than general people in the public who are working, according to a RAND survey. So we have very high rates of job-related stress. We have a lot of political issues in the U.S. that are affecting schools, so teachers are experiencing challenges to how they teach, what they teach, and then other issues like during the pandemic, masking in the classroom. We have a policy environment that is really focused on standardized testing right now, which has led to less freedom for teachers to shape their own curriculum and what they teach in the classroom and how they teach. Going back to the pay thing, we don't adequately supply our schools. So teachers are spending an average of around $500 a year on supplies because they don't have enough copier paper or markers or other things that they need to adequately do their jobs. And then this issue really compounds itself. So now that we have shortages, we're seeing that people are even more stressed out because they have to cover for the people who are not there anymore. So if someone is out or someone leaves their position, everyone else in that school has to try and cover that class. So that means that people aren't getting their prep periods, which is making the working conditions even worse and people even more stressed out. So it's a really complex issue, but it's very clear that we do have a shortage right now.
It's a very complex issue, but what can be done to alleviate the situation?
Well, the thing that we're really focusing on is long-term solutions. So a lot of what we're seeing, especially as schools open after the pandemic subsided a bit, is a lot of quick fixes. So a lot of bonuses to get people in the door, a lot of loosening of requirements so that if you had a high school degree, you could become a teacher. We don't think that those things work in the long term. They might get someone in the door, but that person's not going to be adequately trained. They're not going to likely be receiving the supports they need to get that training. And they're likely to leave more quickly. There's a lot of evidence showing that that alternative programs that are not structured with high quality preparation and support lead people to leave more quickly. So we end up with a revolving door with those quick fixes. So what we're really advocating for is long-term solutions. And these are solutions that have been shown to work. Raising pay across the pay scale. So not just raising the pay of starting teachers, which is certainly important, but that middle career and later career teachers also need to receive pay that is adequate for the work that they're doing. We're advocating for comprehensive teacher preparation and induction support. So making sure that when teachers become a teacher of record, that they are prepared to do that and that they have supports that they can go to when they're encountering challenges. Being an early career teacher is really difficult, and we want to make sure that they are able to get that support. Student debt relief in the U.S., obviously our costs of higher education are increasing steadily. We do have some loan forgiveness programs and other programs to support teachers, but we want to make sure that teachers, again, not just early career teachers, because we actually are aware of teachers in their middle career who go back and get a master's degree and then find that they aren't earning enough to pay that off. And so they hit retirement and are still paying off a student loan. So making sure that people have access to debt relief in all different forms. Providing mental health supports is a big one, and we're really trying to figure out what that looks like. We know that it's not just a Band-Aid of you get a free yoga class. It has to be something that is really embedded in the type of work you do, that's accessible when you're able to access it, that it's confidential, and that it's job relevant. Another thing that we're looking at is, in terms of the recruitment piece, grow your own programs, which look for people who are already living in a community or working in a school who might be promising teachers who are interested in teaching, and setting up a system to help them achieve that teaching certification. So often we have paraeducators who have a lot of experience in schools. They love working with students. They have experienced, you know, and seen experienced teachers firsthand, and they're interested in being teachers. But often they can't afford college, or they can't afford. One thing to note is that in most of the U.S., student teaching isn't paid, so they can't afford to take time off to student teach. And so these programs really say, okay, you're already partway there. Let's provide you with a stipend so that you can student teach and not worry about your income, or a way to keep continuing in your current job part time. We'll provide you with the coursework you need and the supports you need to achieve that certification. And some of those programs have branched out into full-fledged apprenticeships, which is a new area for education in the U.S., where the U.S. Department of Labor offers federally registered apprenticeships that meet certain standards, and then they provide funding for those. So we're really seeing that as a promising opportunity. And then also for teachers who are further along in their careers, making sure that they have career lattices and ladders, that if you're a teacher, you have a way to move up in your career that's not necessarily administration. Certainly a lot of people want to become administrators, but they may also want to become a teacher leader, a mentor, curriculum lead. There's all sorts of other types of positions, and making sure those are opportunities and compensated appropriately. I think it should go without saying, but I'll say it. All of this we really think should be done in partnership with unions. We are in touch with our members. We are listening to our members all the time and making sure that strong collective bargaining rights are in place and achieving those rights where they don't already exist. And when they don't exist, figuring out other avenues towards labor management collaboration to making sure that the voices of our members are in the room when these decisions are being made.
What is the NEA doing to help confront the teacher shortage in the U.S.?
We're doing a bunch of different things, and I think it's important to note for the folks who are not in the U.S. that the United States has a very federalized education system, so most of our policy is set at the state and local levels. So a lot of the work that we're doing is really being done through our state and local affiliates. So I want to make sure it's clear that when I speak on behalf of NEA, it's all the way down to our local affiliates at the district level. a lot of what we're doing nationally is supporting those affiliates. So making sure they have the data and information they need, that they're aware of best practices and have the evidence needed to support those when they advocate for them, connecting them to federal funding and other programs. President Biden instituted a large package of federal emergency funds for education. So we are trying to ensure that those are used in supportive ways. We have some places that are using it to build a new football stadium. And while that is also great, you know, we would prefer that they be used for increasing mental health staffing or increasing salaries. And we know a lot of places are wary of using them for those purposes because they're going to run out. But at the same time, most of our states have surpluses. So providing that sort of data to say, hey, we know you have the funding to pay for this long term. Let's figure out a way to make that happen. I want to point out that some of our affiliates are doing some really interesting and innovative work in this area. The Washington Education Association in Washington State is setting up its own teacher residency program. They will be a teacher preparation provider that is certified by the state. And the way that they did it is really speaking to the direct needs. So what they've done is starting this summer, they will have a cohort of folks who have emergency certification. They're not fully certified, but they're clearly interested in a career as teachers. And they will be providing them with a stipend. WEA members will be the faculty. They will receive coursework. They'll have residencies and they'll have mentor teachers, basically everything that you need to be successful. And they'll exit that with a certification in a content area and in special education. So special education is one of our big shortage areas right now. And so they're making sure that that gap is going to be filled. And they're also targeting recruiting educators of color, which is another issue we've seen in the U.S. that as our student body becomes more diverse, our teacher body, teacher demographics have not become diverse to match. And so we are looking for ways to make teaching a more viable and competitive career path for people of color. And it's a challenge in the current environment, but we're doing everything we can to achieve that. Things like student loan forgiveness actually disproportionately support college students of color because of long-term dynamics in terms of institutional racism and wealth building. So making sure that we have policies like that that help equalize the playing field and make teaching a viable career. And then again, making sure that the role of the teachers' unions in this is clear. We attended a summit recently that was held by the American Association of School Personnel Administrators. And in that room were many people who work at local districts, people who work at state offices of education, people who work at other organizations like ours, national advocacy organizations, and just making it clear that we're here to be part of the conversation, that we have done our legwork and that we're a source of information and support in terms of figuring out how to handle this in a way that is not just a Band-Aid. We really have been doing a lot on this issue.
You mentioned the mental health of teachers. It must hurt to become a teacher and want to be a teacher and then find out that you're disrespected, you don't have the resources, you're not fully paid. What is happening to these people?
It's really heartbreaking because we hear over and over again that people want to be teachers, they love working with their students, they love helping students learn, and they love working in schools for the most part. But when you're confronted with political challenges in some communities, just, you know, your neighbors being angry at you, you're confronted with students who, you know, the entire country and world has been through a traumatic event over the last few years. So, you know, students who have been home for a few years, they need to catch up on social skills. They would need to catch up on academics. They also need a lot of social emotional support. They are also hurting. And then you don't have the staffing necessary to help achieve that. So you as a teacher are trying your best to do many different things at the same time, and you don't have the support that from the system that you need to achieve that. You don't have enough counselors in your school or social workers or psychologists or education support professionals. I don't want to understate how important they are in this equation. So you may not have enough paraeducators to help support your classroom. Your students may not have that regular bus driver that they got used to seeing every morning who can kind of flag issues for you and help be that other supportive person who is in that child's life. And it just weighs on people. The fact that all of that is happening, and then on top of that, there's this this message in the U.S. that somehow teachers are to blame for closing schools during the pandemic and the loss of student learning. And in fact, that was based in health and safety. And schools did not close. They closed to in-person instruction. Teachers were still working. They were working from home. They were doing everything they could to help students stay on track during the pandemic. And they were also taking care of their own children often at home and helping those children learn. So I don't think you can understate the amount of work that our educators have done over the last few years. And to finish that phase of history and have people blaming you for something is, I can't even imagine how frustrating it must be. And then not to receive the support you need to recover from that. I am not surprised when I see these figures on frequent job-related stress. The way it works is that RAND does a survey of just general survey of working adults in the U.S., and then they do a survey of teachers. And I think a lot of people would say, oh, my life has been stressful over the last few years. This has been stressful for me. But it's not the level of stress we're seeing among teachers that is just so much higher, and that there aren't adequate supports to help that instead you're in a job where often you don't have your prep period, you might not have time to eat lunch or use the bathroom more than once a day, you're getting asked to purchase your own supplies. That message is not one that would make people want to choose that career.
Education International is renewing its commitment to free, quality public education with a new global campaign entitled Go Public, Fund Education. You can find more information about EI and the campaign at ei-ie.org.